that God gave me. I called the sermon, "Everyone has their own God." You know, by living in this life and reading the Word of God, talking to people, you know, in the Word, I've noticed one thing. When I was reading the Bible, very often, quite often, one moment very deeply fell into my mind, in my head. Everything that we know about God, everything, it was either told by someone or written by someone, a regular person. Listen to me very cautiously. Listen to me. It's a fundamental thing for every Christian. Everything that we know, see, hear, feel, it was written and said by people. Do you understand me? So, we were given God, that God. Why, in the Bible, we always see, quite often we see, when God Himself was saying, "I am God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." What is that? Why God became, went somewhere onto the side, is not talking about Himself. He's not writing Himself about Himself because He knows Himself the most. Why He gives His destiny into the hands of people? Why He, His history, God, who wrote the Word? Who wrote this Word? People. People. You know that there's everything is in here. Everything that could be. Possibly there's mistakes, problems, how many gold forks were collected. Do you understand what I'm saying? We understand. And our understanding is based upon someone. Understanding of some person. It was passed to us. Some kind of God, it was given to us. What kind of God do we receive? You know, I've noticed that by meeting people, with different people, everyone has their own God. I meet one person, talking to him. If I move my understanding of God, I take it aside. I don't know God. I'm just a person. And I start talking to this person, and I just start fishing. Fishing was happening in that person's life. And by talking to him, I understood. Right now I'm smart and he doesn't know God. Do you understand? Now we're smart. Let's just move our mind away and just understand. Can you just imagine that on us is the responsibility for that who is God. My dear ones, we're all pointing into the Bible. Atheists read the Bible. None of them came to God yet. They based upon the Bible, and they, you know, hurt Christians by it. Also, Bible is letters, but if there is no Holy Spirit, this is coded. It's coded. Someone has to tell us about a live God, and not just tell us, but show us the live God. Isn't that not true? I want to ask you. You tell me about your God. Don't just point at pastors. Don't point at people. Don't point at anyone. You tell me about your God. Who is your God? Can I, from your life, find out a real God? Why is that we don't hear in the Bible where there were people calling, "Oh, this is God of Saul." We always hear in the Bible, "God of David." This is God of David. David was saying, "This is my God." God was saying, "This is my David." I want you to understand my thought right now. Follow through with it. Tell me, who is he for you and you are for him? Tell me, we're always misunderstand things. Something understand, something we're totally clueless. My dear ones, I want you to understand. Everyone has their own God. And what you grew up to or you didn't grow up to, that is your God. What God are you talking to people about? What does he say through you? Do you look like him? Can he call you his name? Or call you God of Andre, God of Sergi, God Isaac?
I am a God of Abraham. Can you imagine how serious this is? Can you imagine from Abraham and Isaac, the destiny of whole nation depend upon them? Do you understand that every one of us, everything depends in life based on God, and everything that spins around God? Elijah. He took his cloak and hit the water and said, "Where is God of who?" Elijah. Where does God of Elijah? What, he can't just call him God? No. Elijah. Elijah did something for his name to be, for name of God to be attached to his name. This is what separates a man, a believer, from a Christian. Do you understand me? Everything in your inside speaks that you belong to him and he belongs to you. He says, he's telling the devil, "Have you seen my servant Job?" And God is boasting about some guy on earth. He's boasting. We're used to living by the tons. A herd of sheep. We're a herd. A herdly principles and mindset and life's herdly, like a type of lifestyle. You have your own God. You hear me? Everyone has their God. Who is your God? Oh, talk to the pastor. No, where's your God? Oh, go to encounter. No. Where is your God? Who's your God? Who's your God? Don't have to point fingers. Listen to the Shapovalov. There's enough of him everywhere already. Who's your God? Your God. Who is he? Well, you don't know him. You have nothing to do with him. Nothing in common. And quit being deceived. You have to know him. He has to know you. You got to become one whole. Amen, church? Who is your God? Your God, who is he? You know, time is coming when you're talking and you're going to have no meaning. You have to be sustained and make your God. What are you sustained of? Out of holy? What are you contained of? Who are you and what are you? I'm going to start prayer. I'm going to open up a church. You don't even know God. What are you talking about? Innocent, what kind of pastor are you going to be if you don't know God? Well, I open up a group. I'm going to sing. How can you sing about who you don't know about? Oh, don't lie. You just want to make money, sell CDs, and so quit lying and sell. Pastor, I want to be popular. Or you're just lazy, you know. Let's just be honest. If you know him, he is going to take care to make sure everybody's going to know about you. Oh. Do you understand me? No matter what kind of a roof I have, if I know Him, everybody's going to know me because I believe in Him. Who is your God? The biggest and fastest way to become popular is to know Him. When He calls you by His name, I am a God of Sergi. How is He going to call you? Everybody's going to know you. Tons of people are going to hate you, but they're still going to know you. Like one person said, a real wise man, he said, there's no such thing as negative popularity or positive popularity is always there. Are you catching this moment? I want everyone to understand. Everything is based, no matter who you meet with, you don't have to re-aim things. There's a person, he has to look into your eyes and know that there's something in you that's different. He has to feel it, that you're absolutely different. Your first look, your first couple of phrases, they have to distinguish you from everyone because you serve a living God. Because you don't look like anyone else, all the talkers and all the nonsense, people full of nonsense who only take dry spots and try to copy Him but have nothing in common with God. Oh, what an interesting sermon. Who is my God? Interesting. Think about it. Are you a believer? You're a Christian? Who is your God? Because every one of you, of us, have our own God. You know that when people look at me, they don't see me. They see my God and what He's done to me. When they see you, they see you real quick and get to know you. They see what God's done to you. How come we are so different? How come we're so different? Who lives in you? God? Where is He? You know, I'm tired of a bunch of talk. Does God live in you? Where is He? You don't need to lie and be deceived. If He's there, He's going to be seen here. Amen? If there's at least a little bit of God, He will change you. He'll change your DNA. Every day you'll become more and more like Him. What is He screaming about? I don't know. It's just coming out of me. And that's it. Because I don't know. I've been re-imagized into something and I don't even understand what it is. But for some reason, every month, every year, there's more fire on me, more anointing. For some reason, I'm not becoming empty, but getting filled more. I don't know why, but it's because I talk to Him. Who is your God? I don't know. Well, that's how it's going to be. That's going to be His name. That's Him. When people want to meet God, listen to me real carefully. They can't meet Him. They always run into a person, always a person. They always get into the boundary next to a person. If any one of you ever wanted to come to God, the first thing you meet is a church or some kind of a servant or a person or some kind of a family. Amen? You weren't laying in bed, and then God came down and said, I want to meet Him. If this happens, it's real rare, and they usually write books about it. Usually it's not like that. A person always meets with a person, and that's another human. And a lot of us been, I'll rephrase this again, maybe it's too early, didn't drink enough coffee. When we meet with a person, by his condition, his words, through him, we get to know who God is and what level he's on. That's the kind of level his God is on. He has a poor God. He's poor. He has a God that's in poverty. His God is healing, changing, doing miracles. That's his God that you met with when you met this person. Isn't it like that? What kind of God did you meet with? What kind of God do you want to show people? My beloved ones, when God opened this and showed it to me, it's more interesting up here. When God opened this up to him, I understood that this is the most important thing in my life. I am a representative of heaven. And depending on me, depends the salvation or perishing of other people. And you know what I said? If I'm cold, I would don't even want to do say anything about God. I'm gonna act like a non-believer, so I wouldn't show him them the wrong God. Do you understand me? I would rather be nobody. I would just pick up a cigarette butt and act like I don't know nothing. You believer? No. What are you talking about? Not to let them get to know the wrong God. Because looking at me, they upgraded God by looking at me. Doesn't it look like the church on earth should show the real living God? Don't you think that me and you, we have to do something? Because everyone has their own God. No matter what church I go to, everybody has a different God. I don't understand why. It happens that they stopped at this, and that's their God. And they're dried up in this. God's already moved on somewhere else. They grab some piece, some kind of fragment, something here, something there, something in the depth, and they're just passing it on from generation to generation. And we're passing on this God that nobody knows. You know why we're spending tons of times in church and don't know the living God? Because the ones who impartate us with this God, they don't know him. Because I can only give you what I have. Do you understand me? And whatever I have, that's what I give you. And not only you, but people who touch our service, TV, radio, internet. We hand over what we have. Why? Why people's hair stands up on their head when they hear our testimonies and our sermons? Why? Because we talk about God that we know. Isn't it like that? We don't say, who did they give us to inherit? I don't need this inheritance. I need him, the live, living God, personal, my Savior. Who is your God? When people come into a house, do they meet with you or your God? Oh, interesting question. You can think about that. Huh? We can think about it for a minute, and it'll help you. If there's God in you, right now, you'll be able to show me to him. Show him to me. Remember Ilya and two of his sons, Elijah. They were the highest people in Israel. These were people that the whole Israel looked upon, and they were guarding the temple, and they were doing sacrifice, and people would come to God through them. Can you tell me? What did these two people do? We'll read about it. It says that they were churning people from sacrifice. Do you understand that? You can have the position and be destroying the glory of God for one reason. because you do not know God. Let's read this. First book of Samuel. Chapter 2. Verse 12. First book of Samuel, chapter 2. Verse 12. Starting from verse 12. Let's see how this story starts. Eliah's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. First phrase, they were wicked. These are supposed to be priests. What's going on? This is church? Well, yeah, this is church. What does this church do? Well, they have a little bit of adultery and they eat fat from the... Now, it was the practice of the priests with the people that whenever anyone offered a sacrifice and while the meat was being boiled, the servant of the priest would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand. He would plunge it into the pan or kettle or card rod or pot, and the priest would take for himself whatever the fork brought up. For this is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. But even before the fat was burned, the servant of the priest would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give the priest some meat to roast. We won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." If the man had said to him, "Let the fat burn up first and then take whatever you want," the servant would then answer, "No, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force." Yeah. When I say a word, you're only going to have two things. Either you're going to be really, really, you're really going to hate me, or you're going to love me in the same way. For one reason, because every time that I touch him, come into contact with him, he gives me the word. They'll never just pet you in the head or just go in one ear and come out the other. It's going to speak into your spirit. And if you're going to be untruthful, you're going to know exactly what's going on. If you're going to walk in unrighteous, then you're going to be one of those who hate me, because what I say is going to judge you. My image is going to judge you. My look is going to judge you because you don't walk in the truth. I don't need to speak a lot. I don't need to talk a lot. I just need to come up to you and look into the eyes, and everything's going to be known who is your God. Because every one of us have their own God. You're a believer? Prove it. Well, you understand, we live by faith, but faith is dead without works. Where is the works? No works? Oh, you're just unemployed, you know? Or, verse 22, same chapter, verse 22, a little bit lower. Now, Eli was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they slept with the woman who served at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear spreading among the Lord's people. If a man sins against another man, God may meditate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? If people even know you're a Christian, you're going to be responsible. I want you to understand that all how serious it is to have the name Christian. It's better to act like a broom, something, but don't even think about saying you're a Christian. I know a guy who put a bunch of stickers on his car. Jesus loves you. Jesus, this. He lives in me. I'm in him, and this and that. And then he understood that it's impossible to drive the car. You can't exalt the rules, the road rules. So he took all the stickers off, and he did the right thing. You know that a car is nothing compared to you. You are a living copy. Only a copy of who are you? Let's deal with that. Copy of your religious church? Copy of your brother who's been teaching your faith? Whose copy are you? Whose copy are you? Well, you understand. They taught, our fathers taught us. What did they teach you? To keep faith. What faith? Faith is dead without works. What do? You're guarding your faith. Are you saving? Are you healing? You're preaching. What do you do? Well, we're guarding the faith, keeping the faith. You know, like an incubator. Everybody's protecting everything. Who are you? That's a rough message. Well, you don't even know. I'll be a little more rough later. But today, I want to ask you a question. Who are you and what God are you serving? Because every time that you meet with a person that meets with you and you tell them, I'm a Christian, I do this or I don't do that, you have to know. And for this time you met with them, you're going to stand in front of God. And depending on what you said to the person, a lot of times his destiny is going to depend on it. His love towards God or hatred towards the church and the servants. Because when we represent terrible things, they're going to hate God. That's a mission of the devil to show how messed through our life. Who is your God? We're all carriers of God. We know Him or know about Him, and that's what we transfer. Well, I believe that we're going to be righteous carriers of God, the right carriers. We're going to be the ones, when people meet us, they're going to want more of God. It says, you are the light to this world. My beloved ones, do you know its light is visible? Amen. You're a building. You're like something on top of a mountain. Why on top of a mountain? Because everybody's going to see you, and everybody's going to judge themselves depending on you. You know God? How much do you know Him? Are you a salt of the ground? What's salt mean? The society you get into, it can't sin anymore. And salt keeps meat from rotting. No matter where you go, you come to work, and then they can't watch porn there because of you. Because you open up your Bible and you drink coffee and you pray there. And they feel so bad that they stop sinning. What are you doing? They're going to be asking. And here's your sermon. Give them your sermon. Let's watch this this movie. What, you guys have movies? Action movies? Oh, yeah, somebody's definitely dying right now. Or we'll be a little bit later after they listen to it. Salt keeps things from rotting. It's after a person eats some salty, he's going to want to drink right away. He's going to be drink a lot of it. He's going to be getting up at night. When you talk to a person, what does it make him do? I've noticed a lot of times when you talk to a person, you tell them about the living God, about how He's your friend, how much you know Him. He calls me and says, oh, the whole night, I couldn't sleep. I was crying. I was seeking His face. Why did this happen? I just told him about me. I didn't tell him nothing supernatural. I just told him about how my Jesus is, how much I know Him, how much I like to be in His presence. And it pulled the life of this person so much, I couldn't sleep my whole night. I was reading the Bible and praying in tongues because it grabbed my heart. Who is your God? What kind of a carrier of God are you? I want everyone to take off their name tag of a Christian if you're not like that, or become the one who you speak of. Either become who you preach of, become the one who you pray about, who you give your words, your life to, become that person. They only called Christians the ones who were like one-to-one, like a Christian. And now, right now, anybody can call themselves a Christian. I don't know what happens. Christianity, little by little, started. When apostles came, nobody even had the right to say anything. Somebody wanted to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to be able to baptize people. He almost dried up after the apostles talked to him. They said, pray to God for you not to die here, for you even to wish that in your heart. My beloved ones, you know that God had some kind of a value back then. Do you know that somebody has to restore the value of God, and God's not going to come here by Himself to do this. We have to do it individually. And like a body of Christ, we have to restore the value of Jesus Christ. The value. As soon as somebody starts talking about Christ, turn around and say, what did you say? You're talking about Christ? Were you Christian? Who is your God for you? Stop talking junk about God. You know why in Israel it was forbidden to use the name of the living God? Because it was so scary, and you cannot talk about it unless it was something really important. Do you understand that? I dream of a restoration of the fear of God. Not fear of God, but fear of God. When you speak of Him, everybody would know exactly that you're not some kind of a junkie. Do you understand me? When you speak of Him, people know who you speak about because you show Him to them. Your deeds can be felt. You can see Him. You can x-ray Him. You can see who you serve. You want to check me? Go ahead. I want to check you. Who are you? I want you to understand how serious this sermon is, because I dream of restoration of fear of God. How come nobody understands what it means, the fear of God? Fear of God is not to speak of Him for nothing. That means blah, 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 Jesus, oh, Jesus. Oh my God. Do you know what you just said? Let me whip you in the face. You don't have the right to talk about my God, because every time when you say about Him, a miracle has to happen or life has to change. Shut your mouth. Long time ago, we've lost our God. Church is already throughout the glory of God, everything has just been lost. Their fear of God became into fear of in front of God, and they don't know what to do, what kind of a corner to hide in. What's that got to do with it? You don't have to be afraid of Him. You have to be afraid of talking or represent God in the wrong way. You have to be afraid. If you're going to represent God, you have to so represent Him so uniquely and be careful about it. You know, there's real watches, for example, and there's fake ones, $35 ones, that look like the real watch, but they have nothing in common with the original. And this fake watch, that's why I hate fakes. Either nothing or original. We don't need to take a bug and Volkswagen bug and put a Mercedes sign on it. We don't need to take junk and put the name of a Christian on it. It's not going to make him a Christian. Get to know God, and that will make you alive. Did I put some fear in you? That's exactly what I want to do. And every time you come up here and you speak of God, it should only worship His name. Every time when you say His name, it has to be worshipped. It has to be glorified. You said, Jesus did this in my life, and He will do it in your life, and Jesus will be worshipped. You speak of Him, and He's being glorified, and every time when you call upon Him, He hears you. I want in this church for people to stop talking about the sermon of God, if this sermon is not changing someone's life or not changing your personal life. How much do I like Jesus? Well, remember why Jesus became, when He came to the temple of His house, and it was supposed to be called the house of prayer. Do you remember the reaction of our God? What He started doing? He went with the big love, huge love, took a rope or whatever, and then just loved everybody with it. What does this mean? What's going on? Jesus, what's going on in your life? Why are you doing this? Because someone... You know why He was just furious over His house? It's getting to me. Because someone turned it into something it wasn't supposed to be. You know how come I look at some churches and sometimes I get furious because there's nothing live except the Word of God, nothing else. There's just the Bible there and everything else is dead. And that's people say, Church of Christ. This is a stain and a shame to the name of Christ. Do you understand me? This is a stain and this is a shame to the churches where there's nothing connected with the truth and life, the repentance and restorance of the living God. This is terrible, false, illusional. And this is what destroys and turns back our new generation from sacrifice. Isn't it like that? Who is from a normal youth? I'm talking about normal youth. Wants to go there. Nobody. Unless you gotta rent somebody over there real quick. I know everything I'm from there. Let's see what Jesus was talking about in one place. Matthew 23:13. This is one of Jesus' phrases. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. So you don't enter yourselves, not letting anyone else do it. What does this mean? This means that by these people, someone, they were a door, and someone was broken and destroyed by him. I can't even tell you how many times I was the was hurt by this system? Who was hurt by this system in this church? Tons of us. Why? If I wasn't seeking the living God, I would have just crossed God out and everything had to do with God. And you know, the whole generation did this. But someone has to return the living God. Somebody has to make it so that when people get into the door, they would get into the building, and the glory of God, without any kind of words, would take over them. They would understand that they're on a holy ground, and there's something in their life is going to be changing. Every time when they get into your group, encounter, prayers, their lives must change, because here, God, Jesus Christ, lives. Ain't that how it is? Everything else I do not accept. I don't accept a dead God that they wait for 40 years. Either he lives or he doesn't. He's there or he's not. You want to read the Word of God. The only people he wasn't with is the people who didn't want him to be with them. And he was with those who seeked him. What is God? Who is God? What's your God like? Oh, my beloved ones, all people see and hear right now out of this mouth. They only know for one reason. They hear for one reason, because I keep in contact with them. Because I don't tell you what kind of macaroni I ate for breakfast. I'm not telling you what kind of a store I bought something. I'm telling you about the life, about His glory, about how dangerous it is to represent God in the wrong way. How dangerous it is to carry God that's not the right kind of God. How dangerous it is to bring, show false fire and do things God didn't tell you to do. It's better not to do nothing, not to say anything, and don't even think about telling people you're a Christian, and if you don't happen to be one. You know how dangerous that is, church? You must know. I know for sure God is seeking those who seek Him live, truthful, and real. Do you want the living God? Stop acting. Come home, close all the doors, and start screaming into the heart of your God. And say, I want you, the living God, the real God. And you'll see what He's going to start doing in your life. You probably never screamed to Him truthfully. You never cried out from the depths of your heart. You've never been honest with Him. Take off all the masks and start seeking the living God. Oh, my beloved ones, when I did this, He came into my life. When He came into my life, I stopped being lost and not knowing about certain things. As soon as I pray about it, I already know it. I already understand it. I can already talk about this because He opened it to me. What kind of God do you serve? Who are you seeking? Who are you walking towards? Or are you just fake, wannabe? When people meet with you, do they want to see God? There's a test number one. When people meet with you, they met with you, you talk to them. Where are they going? Who they go to? After they meet you, they got to start seeking God. After your testimony about what God does, they have to start seeking God. Not you, not friends, not church, God. It has to light up in their life. Why God, if Moses would stand by the burning bush, and he asked him, what's your name? The Lord says, we'll get to this name a little bit later, not in this sermon. And this name, there's such abominous, I don't even touch it. He said, I exist, I am here, I'm here right now. They said, they won't understand. Okay, you exist, yeah. What's your name? He He said, I am a God of Abraham and Isaac. Why did he call himself by the name of a person? God. Why God? He said, my business card is Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I never thought about it until God brought me into this spot and put me in here and said, read it. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I have a business card, and it says, I am God of Andre. I represent myself. You know what that's like? I already told you. This speaks that where there's God, that's where you're at. You're where God is. Do you understand me? When His name is attached to your name and your name is attached to His, it's impossible for something to go wrong. When you're going against me, guess who you're going against? Oh. Isn't that dangerous? It is dangerous. I want you to understand. Simply understand. I'm just letting you think this. When He calls Himself with your name, yeah, no hair will fall off your head. Why? Or you're like His eye, or like a eye that He guards. No, God doesn't protect what He doesn't belong to Him. Start being false and lie to Him. You are nobody. Get to know Him, and that's who He guards. When He is a God of Andre, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sergey, and Andre, and Vadim, when He is a God of Ilya, He said, don't even worry about it. Nothing's going to happen to you. Do you understand? When you represent Him real, I represent Him real. You know why tons of preachers cannot pull out into knowing the truth, always in problems for one reason, because God tells them how to preach, but they're afraid to lose their name, popularity, to lose their some kind of a exaltance or some kind of a respect in front of people. I believe that you're taking something for yourself today. We didn't step away from format. God said, speak about me today. About me. Speak about me. How dangerous it is to call Himself by call ourselves by His name and not function as a Christian. If you call yourself by His name, you must know there's nothing ever is going to happen to you. Nobody can ever attack you. Nobody will ever put you on your back because He protects you. Because He calls Himself with your name. Because He makes it so everyone's going to know you. Everyone's going to know your name. Why? Because your name is attached to His name. Where God is going, and He's taking you there. You hear me? God's going to Ukraine, and they call me. Or we got your CDs. We started, the glory of God started there. God moved and took my CDs in the pocket. You hear me? God says, here, listen. He's speaking honestly about me. You know what I'm talking about? Stop acting and start talking about God, how the way He is. And start talking about Him, what He's done, going to put inside you. What He gives you and what you're living through. And you'll see how God will make sure people know about you. But when you're going to be pushing your production line, well, you understand, it didn't work. Go ahead. Forget about service. Start talking about the living God. Start represent the living God. Amen? And you'll see how He'll take you with Him. I hope you understand. Maybe not too many people understand me, but I know exactly what I'm talking about. God's moving. And when there's revival, for some reason, or the name of our church comes up, or website. And people start burning on fire. For some reason, there's our DVDs there. Why? Because God takes us with Him. Why? Because He wants to hear about us. Why? Because it doesn't talk about Him. He wants you to talk about Him. Why He makes you popular. And not just popular, but more popular. Because you speak honestly about Him. Because you're simply talking about Him, how He told you to say. And you absolutely don't care what's going to happen afterwards. He is powerful. My time is coming to an end. This is the question, church. I hope you took some moments in for yourself. And I hope I explained to you what real popularity is, what real movement in the Holy Spirit is. It's to know Him and to talk about Him the way He told you to talk about Him, and you'll see. I don't care if some preacher is going to try to act like me. If Jesus Christ advertises me, do you know what's going to happen? Do you know what I'm talking about here? Because He will advertise you so good that everybody's going to be in shock. You'll be in shock yourself. You won't even want to go to some places because they'll just tear you apart. I'm not joking. That's why I said, I don't want to go to Ukraine no more. Demon knows what I'm talking about. Amen? Because when He takes you with Him, that's the best kind of journey you can dream of. That's the best when He is called with your name. When we're used to saying, "Oh Lord," He says, "Oh," but God wants to say, "Oh Andre, I'm God of Ilya, God of Joseph, God of Job," and He has a business card, and this is His church, amen? This is His church on earth. Who are you? And what kind of God are you serving? Let's stand up. Father, I thank You. I worship You. And I believe that You're changing our destiny. I know that You're calling us to get to know You. I know, Father, that when You take us with You, no one, we won't need anybody. We're not gonna put our hopes up on nobody. We don't give our life to anybody except You. We don't want to do anything without You. We thank You, our favorite, for our family. Our family that's changing, that's growing. You're changing us. Bless us. Bless everyone here. I believe that this small thought is going to give us something to think about. I only want to be with You. I want You, Jesus, to talk about me. And what You're going to say about me. I don't need anything. I don't need about some human advertisement or some kind of a cool things or important meetings. I just need Your name. I only need You. Because when You take me with You, all my questions, all my destiny, everything is going to come into balance. I thank You. I thank You. I thank You, my favorite. You're holy. You are holy. Hallelujah. Give Him the glory, church. Amen.